Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, we're looking at something many experience, yet is largely invisible: childhood attachment pain. These are the deep wounds that we can form before we even have words for them. Wounds that shape our nervous system, relationships, even our physical health in ways that most of us never realize. You see, as infants, we either receive the co-regulation we need to feel safe, or we adapt to survive without it. And when we adapt, our bodies learn to live in a constant state of protection rather than connection. This isn't just psychology, this becomes our biology. It's why someone can have a great childhood on paper, but still struggle with anxiety, digestive issues, autoimmunity, or chronic pain as an adult. In fact, this episode was inspired by a message I received from Colin on my YouTube channel, who wrote, "Dr. Amy, I've been in therapy for years, but I push people away, even though I desperately want connection. I blame it on my chronic pain, but I'm not sure if that is really just an excuse. What am I missing?" Colin, I'll be answering your question at the end of this episode, because this episode is where you will learn more on the 6 core attachment pains that form in early childhood and how they can show up in our adult life, how the nervous system is stuck in survival mode when we have these childhood attachment pains, the connection between the attachment pains and chronic pain, but other conditions like IBS, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmunity, to just name a few, and how these specific health patterns can give us insights into our childhood. Whether you're a practitioner working with clients who seem stuck or are on your own self-healing journey, this episode will help bring the pieces together for health issues and childhood attachment pains that you have been unaware of. Let's get started. The first attachment pain that we're going to look at really starts from when we are first born. And as we are first born, the biology actually makes us need to be held in order to survive. And so as we look at what we need when we are first born, we are so fragile. Our survival is so fragile that we need to be held. We need to be held in order to survive. If you look at this baby and you think, what if they were not held? What if they were born premature and had to go to the NICU, the neonatal ICU, a life-saving measure, but they would not have been held? Or what if for this baby, their parents were stressed and busy or fighting, and rather than being held, they're in a crib or they're laying down and hearing the noise and not being held? What would happen if this baby were not held? Its survival would feel very fragile. And this is what a newborn baby needs then in order to survive. It's called co-regulation, and it's co-regulating their inner physiology, their heart rate, their breath rate. Their literal physiology is being co-regulated, and this happens through touch, through voice, through eye contact, and through the rhythmic movement, like bouncing up and down. That's why you'll see parents unconsciously bouncing up and down as they're holding their baby, because the rhythm of the movement is what helps provide that co-regulation. So co-regulation happens through touch, through voice, eye contact, and rhythmic movement. And there's more. This is really the crux of how our inner world is created. And this trust cycle happens throughout our first year of life. Let me walk you through it. It starts with us as an infant having a need. And when we have a need, what do babies do? They cry. We call this dysregulation. They're crying, they're getting upset, which is why we call what they need co-regulation, because it brings them back into a sense of I'm okay, brings them back into a sense of calm aliveness. So a baby, an infant has a need and they cry, they become dysregulated. What happens next is everything in the first year of life. What happens next is everything. What we want to have happen next is a caregiver comes, meets that need, and provides the co-regulation that we talked about, the touch, the eye contact, the voice prosody, meaning that, you know, that baby talk that parents will do. And they need that rhythmic movement. When they get all of that along with their needs being met, guess what develops inside of them? Trust. You might have thought that love was what developed inside of them. That is not true. The first thing that develops inside of us is trust. Trust that they're going to come and meet my needs. Trust that they will do it in a way that shows that they are happy to meet my needs. It's not a burden for them. It's not a bother for them. I'm not a bother for them. My needs matter. And so as we come to this trust cycle, we realize that we need to be able to have that consistency, have that predictability, and my needs are going to be met. My physiology is going to be calmed down. I am going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, my survival is on the line. Being held is not just something that's nice to give, nice to provide, nice to receive. My survival is on the line. As an infant, hold me. This is our first attachment pain. If we are not held enough, this is our first attachment pain. What does this look like? Well, when my needs are met consistently and with co-regulation, an infant, a baby feels secure. When needs are met consistently, predictably, and with co-regulation, a baby feels secure. But what if that didn't happen? Then I feel like I always have to have my guard up. It's not safe to relax because I'm all alone and my survival is on the line. So I always have to be thinking and in my head. I don't like to feel my body because of how much aloneness and terror is inside my body. It's not safe to relax. How would a person know if this is their attachment pain? It's not safe to relax. Well, let's think of the last time that you tried to relax. What happened? You sit down on the couch, or maybe you sit down in a chair. You're going to take some time for you. What happens when you try to relax? I actually get more anxious. My mind starts racing. I can't. In fact, I think of everything that I need to do right now. There's panic. I fidget. I get restless, antsy. I fall asleep. That would be the trauma response, the actual freeze and shutdown response. I find, that I have guilt. I find that my body is tense. I feel the pain that my body is holding on to. I get up and get busy. I numb out. These are ways in which you can know, my body has this inherent belief that relaxing is not safe. I want to highlight that these beliefs that we hold about ourselves go very deep. This all started so early. And that perhaps, even though we don't recognize trauma in our childhood, perhaps our body had a harder time than what we thought. Perhaps, just perhaps, our body experienced more fear around surviving and being okay than we have thought. our body holds fear that is pre-verbal. We don't have conscious memory of any of this. This is how we know, though, is we look at how has this resulted in my life, in my relationships, and in my health. We have not even gone into the health impact yet. Let's do that. The health impact of attachment pain hold me. I'm curious how many of you have IBS. IBS is the irritable bowel syndrome, meaning you have digestive issues that don't necessarily have a clear reason, even a clear diagnosis. You may have a diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome. You may not have a diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, but you have digestive issues that can include just general pain, bloating. You get tired after eating instead of feeling energized like we're supposed to feel after we eat and take in calories. Maybe you have issues with diarrhea or constipation, or maybe there's pain with either one. This is all from the attachment pain hold me. Autoimmunity. Uh-oh. This is where we have antibodies that are attacking our own body. Autoimmunity can be a part of the hold me attachment pain. And then there's this idea of emotional dysregulation. That means that it's hard for us to be emotionally stable because small things can trigger us and then we go very fast. We can go very fast to anxiety, very fast to panic, very fast to terror, and then we go very fast into getting overwhelmed and shutting down and just needing to push people away. And that's all because we did not have enough of the co-regulation when we were young to regulate our physiology and our emotions. And so it still presents as a roller coaster ride of emotions. Now, you are not alone. You are not alone. Part of my story was discovering how much my own body had been through attachment pain. And it wasn't until I was diagnosed with autoimmunity that it was a wake-up call for me. I had continued to push and push and push my body, ignoring my body until one day I couldn't get out of bed. And my body said, no more. You are going to have to stop and slow down because we are killing ourselves. And when I went and I looked at labs trying to find answers for this fatigue, discovered autoimmunity. Fatigue is one of the most common symptoms of autoimmunity. Our immune system has adapted to fear. Fear causes inflammation. Fear causes inflammation. So whenever we are holding fear from our childhood, we are at higher risk of autoimmunity. We are at higher risk of having weight gain and not being able to lose the weight, not because we're not going to the gym or exercising enough or counting the right calories. It has nothing to do with it. It's because our whole inner biology is in protection mode. It's in inflammation mode. It's in fear mode. And when it is in fear mode, it's going to hold on. It's going to hold on to everything, including fat. And so we can look at our health to see if we are holding on to fear as a result of our childhood. There is more. So we're looking at the attachment pain hold me and what comes out of this. There can be some fibromyalgia. There can be some fibromyalgia. It's hard to know whether fibromyalgia is more related to hold me or some of the other attachment pains. So if we're looking just at fibromyalgia, it is definitely a sign of an attachment pain, probably hold me as well as some others as well, because you can have more than one. And maybe this is the case for many of you where you don't trust other people anymore to even hold you. you don't trust because your trust has been broken so many times. And it started so early that you don't even have conscious memory of how early it started. And now you don't know why you get into a relationship, even if it's just a friendship. And there's just this element of, I need to maintain distance. Why? Oh, it comes down to that word trust. I don't trust you. I don't trust you to let me fully relax in your presence and still be safe. And so I keep myself protected because I can't trust you. I can't trust you to be able to fully relax and let my guard down, let my heart be open. Now, I will say that this can change. And if it couldn't change, I wouldn't be teaching you about it. So the good news is that this can change and we need to be able to become our own safe person. Our body needs to know, I've got you. Your body is in essence telling you what it needs from you if you are recognizing yourself in this. So that if your body could say something, this is what it might be saying to you. I need to know you've got me. You've got me. Are you holding me? Or will you even let me drop? When was the last time that you gave your body this message of, I've got you? I'm going to suggest that we take just a moment and move into some form of, if you were holding a newborn baby, what would that look like? What would that look like? Go ahead and do that. Maybe you've held a newborn baby recently. Maybe you haven't. But I imagine that you'll be able to know what you would do if you were holding a newborn baby right now. So go ahead and do that. And imagine now that this is you, that this is your body and all that it has been through. And can you say the words out loud? I've got you. Oh, I get a deep breath just as I do that. I notice my shoulders come down. My body can relax into that message now. It didn't used to be able to. In fact, when I first started this somatic self-practice that I'm going to share with you, my body said, I don't trust you. You're one of those people that has let me drop. I don't even trust you. And so I had to build that trust with consistency. Consistency, predictability, and coming in with co-regulation so that even when my body was like, I don't trust you. Sometimes my body was like, I'm not even going to talk to you. I did not return that with a message of anger. It was more of a message of, I understand. You have every right to feel that way. Just like we would a newborn baby. If it were to show anger, we don't reciprocate the anger. They're a baby. They're a baby. They don't know any other way to communicate. And so just now, as you're here with this message of, I've got you, what might your body want to say to you in response? Is it responding favorably or is it responding like my body did at first? Maybe, but I don't know. It would be nice. Is it saying thank you? Or is it saying, let's see about this. Let's see. Because this is preverbal, this is why talk therapy will never be enough. Because this became a nonverbal fear programmed into our body that has become our biology. The inflammation, the digestive issues, the sleep issues, the anxiety, the depression, It's become our biology. So we can't expect to try to use words for something that did never had words. And so there's a limitation with trying to use our thoughts and just changing my thoughts. Just changing my thoughts. All right, my friend, we've covered a lot. So let's review what we've learned so far. The first attachment pain is hold me, and how our biology makes us need to be held to survive. Why your body believes it's not safe to relax, and how to know if this is your attachment pain, and the health impacts of hold me attachment pain being IBS, autoimmunity, emotional dysregulation because of the fear that causes inflammation. What's coming up next are the other five attachment pains that build on each other when our foundation was faulty, and how to become your own safe person and give your body the message, I've got you. I want to share with you some of the other attachment pains because they are important. And I want you to be able to see what other attachment pains you might have. Once we have this primary one, then it's so common for us to have some of the others because they build on each other. So if our foundation was faulty, guess what happens? Everything on top of that also becomes something that was not met rather than something that was met. So hear me. Hear me is the next attachment pain. And this is where, do you hear that I have needs? Was this you? It's hard to know if it was you when you were 6 months old and you needed to be heard, but maybe later on in your childhood, you can recognize the same pattern. My parents were so preoccupied with their own problems. We're so preoccupied with their own pain. We're so preoccupied with their responsibilities and the other children or work or their health issues that I couldn't have needs. If I did, it would have been too big of a burden for them. And so what does this result in? Oh, this results in I give and I rescue others, but I feel empty inside. I want my needs to be met, but I don't want to have to say them because I'm afraid that you're not going to hear me. And if I meet their needs, then that means that I won't be alone. And so I continue to meet their needs. Not because it's healthy, but because it's my way of not being alone. And so I stay in relationships that I shouldn't, where I'm meeting their needs while I feel empty inside, but at least I'm not alone. Now, it's very common for those with this attachment pain to have food issues. Why? Because they feel so empty inside and they don't like to feel empty inside. And so we can fill ourselves with food, or we can go the opposite way. We can feel empty, emotionally empty, and we would rather feel physically empty, and so we deny ourselves food so that we can feel the physical pain and not as much the emotional pain of emptiness. We have a few more attachment pains that I want to share with you. The next one is support me. Support me means support my growth. Or did we have parents that did not support our growth? They did not support our exploration. They were afraid of our curiosity. And rather than being able to feel open to the world, we had to stay limited. This even goes back to our movement. Support me starts with our ability to crawl, to move, because this is how we learn. But what is often the case is that because babies and infants and children that move take more time from their parents because parents have to follow them around and make sure that they're not putting things into their mouth that they're not supposed to or putting their fingers into the electrical sockets, it's very common for parents to say, no, you cannot move. You need to stay in this contraption. I'm going to put you into this baby chair. I'm going to put you into this other baby carrier or whatever it is, because I can't let you move around. I can't support your growth. I can't support your learning. I can't support your movement. And so we stay small to stay safe. And the result of that is that then we come to believe that we're not capable. And when challenges or opportunities come our way, we decline them because now we don't trust ourselves to be able to follow through. We don't trust ourselves to be able to learn new things. Now, what does this cause? Really, it causes us to adapt. And we have a smaller capacity then, a smaller capacity for stress, smaller capacity for life, a smaller capacity for relationships, for grief, for change, for joy, because we just don't feel like we're capable. This is what support me can lead to. Now, as we go through these, literally, we look at all of these health conditions are related to attachment pains. This is what it looks like to have fear from childhood stored in the body. And this is just a short list. If there's anyone here who has a chronic health issue that's not even been received a diagnosis, this would still be how fear from our childhood presents, because as infants, we either adapt or we die. And I'm curious, does this feel familiar to you? This concept of I either have to adapt or I die. Because if this is what we did when we were young, it's going to still be a belief in our body. It's still going to be a pattern that we carry out, that we see ourselves enacting, even though we don't logically understand, why am I doing this? Why am I isolating? Or why am I clinging on to this person that I want to be able to let go? Well, it's because we have learned that we either adapt to not having enough of what we need, adapt to overwhelm, or we die. We have to adapt. And for those of you who know the polyvagal theory, this is exactly what that is. This is the polyvagal theory as it relates to what we would have done with that childhood fear. Survival at any cost. And that survival with fear comes at adapting. And so whether it's too little or too much, whether we had too little connection, too little support, or whether is our parents were too much in our face and they made us their therapist rather than going out to find their own peers or their own support, they used us, then we adapted. And we adapted, and our adaptations will look like protection rather than connection. And so support me. How would this look like? I don't want to be in my body. This default thinking of I can't, I'm not capable, I'm overwhelmed, I can't process all of this. And I hold myself back because I don't trust myself to follow through. And now you understand where this comes from. You have the fear that you won't be able to follow through. It's a fear that's beyond your logic. It's wired into your nervous system, into your survival system. It's not something you're going to be able to overpower with your logic or your mantras or yoga. This is something that goes so much deeper that you don't trust yourself to follow through. Another attachment pain, see me. When we are not seen, we don't know who we are. Who am I to you is how I know who I am as an adult. Am I worth it? This is how I know if I'm worth it as a child. Do you take the time to see me? Do you take the time to see me? Because if you feel that you're not, you will feel very small inside. And sometimes that will result in you finding ways to get attention, even if they're unhealthy ways. Understand me is another attachment pain. Understand me. Don't understand just yourself. Do you understand me? And if we did not get that sense that someone, our parent, understood us, we developed the belief that if people really knew me, they wouldn't like me. And so we become someone else. We abandon ourselves so that people will like us. And when people ask us to do something for them, we really mean no, but we say yes. What does that create? Now, I will be very open with you. This is one of my core attachment pains. And I have had these health issues, back pain, neck pain, colitis, stomach ulcers. Why? Why stomach ulcers? Because it literally creates this inner tension. I say yes, but what I really mean is no. And there's an internal tension that pulls our tissues apart. If we're having episodes of back pain, it's not because you moved in the wrong way. It's not because you lifted a weight that was too heavy for you, or you didn't do the squat just like you should have when you lifted that thing. It's because something is going on in your life that's triggering an early childhood fear. And that early childhood fear is creating microinflammation around your spine. It's creating changes in your arteries that then make those changes happen and creates the pain. We've got one more attachment pain that I want to share with you. Love me. Love me. If we did not feel loved, it's not just that we feel unloved. It's that we feel unlovable. And this results in us finding ways to try to be loved. Because if I'm unlovable as I am, well, then what if I'm perfect? And so we strive to be perfect because we believe that that's how we are going to survive, which is why when we do something that shows us that we're not perfect, we can feel like we die inside. It's because it is survival for us. And this is why we can push ourselves more than anyone else would ever be able to push us. We are our own worst slave driver. And we are deathly afraid to open up our heart. Why? Well, because I'm unlovable. So it's only a matter of time that they find out and they see that part of me that is unlovable, and they too will leave me. And so while we desperately want to be loved, we end up creating distance and broken relationships. When we desperately want connection, we disconnect because of the fear that they'll find out who we really are. What does this cause? Constantly doing to earn love. We are calm and cool on the surface because that's what we want to show you, but that's not how we feel inside. We can develop the brain fog and the mental fatigue from the brain inflammation that this causes. We can feel depressed. We even tend to have more allergies and histamine intolerance than other people. It's often from a biochemical imbalance with our methylation. And so those who have this attachment pain often, not always, have a methylation imbalance that makes them be an undermethylator and creates more histamine intolerance. There is a biology to these attachment pains. We've covered a lot already, so let me review what we've covered. We've covered now all six attachment pains, starting with hold me, hear me, support me, see me, understand me, and love me. We've seen how there's a biology to these attachment pains, from back pain to histamine intolerance. And we've seen that we can either adapt or die. And given those two options, our body adapts. But these programs and beliefs are still wired into our nervous system. Next up, we will cover the exact three-phase sequence for safely opening up these stored attachment pains in our body and why talk therapy is not enough to uncover something that is preverbal. Kelsey was a great example of this. Kelsey actually was one who took one of the very first 21-day journeys that I led. And she came and enrolled in the 21-day journey because of her kids. And she recognized that as a parent, she wanted to keep her survival patterns, her family patterns away from her kids. How do I keep it from them? She didn't want them to absorb everything. Well, what was everything? What was she trying to prevent her kids from absorbing? Ah, Kelsey had grown up with a mother with alcohol issues. Alcohol changes one's state. They're not as present for their children, or they may be trying to numb, avoid, and escape, which makes them not present, which makes them not hear their children's needs, not be able to support their growth, not be able to understand their children, or see their children, or feel that they love their children because they're so absorbed. And they're unpredictable. They're one way when they are intoxicated, and they're a different way when they're not. Unpredictable, which means that we can't trust them. So growing up with all of this, Kelsey became the people pleaser. Ah, we've seen that, haven't we? The people pleaser, invisible but responsible. Anyone else here became invisible but responsible as a child? She was even responsible for making sure that her mother was okay, that her and her brother were going to get home from school safely because they weren't always safe. And so she absorbed it all. How do we know that? Ah, she developed Hashimoto's, an autoimmune condition of the thyroid, by college in her 20s. She was very athletic in her school years, and she'd started to develop physical pain from sports injuries. Again, any other person would have been like, but she was in sports. Her body is supposed to be in pain. No, it's not. When we have chronic pain from old injuries, whether it's sports, car accidents like me, broken bones, the body will heal itself if it has what it needs, including safety. And so when we develop physical chronic pain, that is the body showing us that it is holding on to fear. So Kelsey came in motivated for her kids, but then realized how much more fear her body was holding from childhood. And so we walked through the sequence of the 21-day journey where we safely open up attachment pain. We follow a very structured sequence where it is the essential sequence for opening up stored pain and fear and overwhelm in the body. And so as we look at these three steps, these three phases, we start with safety. First, we have to learn how to create a feeling of safety in our body. Then we create a feeling of support, because with support, we can do hard things and we're going to need to grow our capacity. And that's what we do then with week three, the attuned expansion. It's not just expansion of our abilities and our going into processing stories, for example, or the deeper work. We have to learn how to do it in an attuned way, which is why we then go back to what we learn in week one and week two with these somatic practices, so that we can stay safe enough as we grow and open up. Now, what can happen as you do this structured sequence? Well, what happened with Kelsey is that she's more present with her kids. She has more joy. She feels more like her authentic self. Going from people-pleasing to feeling like her authentic self. And she's being able to better support her brother, which was important to her because she was realizing that she was having to push him away because it was too much. His pain was too much for her. And so she wanted to be able to provide support, be present for her brother. And now she could without feeling overwhelmed or feeling like it sucked her in. She's more present in her work. She's off her thyroid medications for the autoimmunity. This was my story as well. I am off all the medications. My lab work is normal. You can reverse autoimmunity when you give the body the safety that it needs. And the chronic pain is gone. And this was my story as well. I had developed chronic pain. And part of my experience and journey has been to learn that my body needs the safety, needs the support, needs that ability for attuned expansion, and then it can release all of this. As we wrap up, I want to answer Colin's questions about why you push people away and are you just using chronic pain as an excuse? The reality is that they are connected. And whether we want to say that the chronic pain is an excuse or it's a reason for your decreased capacity, and thus you will fall back on your adaptive patterns. Those adaptive patterns of, I can't relax around other people. I have to keep my guard up, because that is how you survived your early life. The beautiful news, of course, is that these attachment pains and patterns can shift. It's not always going to have to be this way. And when we can start to learn how to become our own safe person, use the somatic self practices that I teach, then we bring in the parts work and then the biology work, which will be very important for your chronic pain, Colin, magic happens. Healing can happen when we bring in these three levels of repair: mind, body, and biology. I want to share some resources with you, one of them being my Biology of Trauma book, How the Body Experiences and Holds Fear, Pain, and Overwhelm, and How to Heal. You can pre-order it at this time. And as long as you are in the pre-order window, I am giving out $400 worth of bonuses with the pre-order. So head to Amazon, get the book, and then I will have a link in the show notes for where you can get these bonus bundles that I put together for up to $400 worth of value. The 21-day journey, if you're ready to create that felt sense of safety, learn how to do that. And Colin, get this. Those who go through the 21-day journey experience, on average, a 26% decrease in their daily physical pain. Then I invite you to join me. Join me for the 21-day journey. I will have the link in the show notes for how you can find when the next one is happening. The Attachment Trauma Roadmap might be something that you would find valuable, where you can learn more about what does this journey look like once you've discovered that you too have attachment trauma. If this podcast episode resonated with you, you will want to check out episode 71, which was on understanding the trauma connection between attachment, autoimmunity, and fatigue. And episode 77 was on attachment styles with Dr. Diane Poolheller. There is a related YouTube video on why attachment is the future of health. I did this talk years ago and encourage you to look at that. I am here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the trauma healing journey. So please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review, because your feedback is how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find the information that could change their life as well. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.